Bonjour and bienvenue. Hello and welcome to the Good Life France podcast. Everything you want to know about France and more. I'm chatting to you from my somewhat messy desk in a converted pigsty in the middle of nowhere in northern France. It's a gloriously rural area known as the Seven Valleys in the department of Pas-de-Calais. I am by birth British, but after having a home in France for almost 20 years, I do feel almost French, but not quite. And I'll explain why in a minute. I'm an author and I'm the editor of the Good Life France magazine and website, and I am not going to be modest about it because I'm so proud of what we publish, the wonderful travel writers and photographers who make up our team, and the fact that we are now number one in the world for our independent and free to read magazine and website for English speakers.
Bravo!
Oh! Thank you, Ollie!
You're welcome.
That surprised me. If you'd like to know more, pop to www.thegoodlifefrance.com. And I love to share the France I know with you alongside my podcast partner, Olivier Geoffrey.
No, that's true, Janine, and everybody. Congratulations are in order. Those numbers and that success is amazing. Bravo.
Thank you.
And salut, bonjour everyone. Yes, I am Oli. I am a Frenchie born in west of France, but I live in the UK. Well, as of today, I am, but my family and I have decided to move back to France in the next 6 to 9 months, or maybe earlier actually, in the world capital of gastronomy, which is Lyon. And we are very excited about that, so to be continued soon. Now, Janine, just to be sure, you work in a pigsty, hmm? But no cochons, no little piggies, hey?
Ha ha, no pigs, just me and my four dogs and eight cats, though thankfully not all at the same time. But bread man, he's not made of bread, he's the man who delivers bread to my village, since we are several miles away from a boulangerie. He did actually think, and possibly still does, that I keep pigs in here at the same time. So just to explain, I bought this hovel of a farmhouse 20 years ago and I've been renovating ever since. I think dirt floors, bit of a hit and miss roof through which you could see the stars at night. In the garden was a building that had just three walls, no roof, one wall missing. It was filled with mud. It was the old pigsty. So over time, that's my other half, Mark and me, we cleared it out and we turned it into an office. Quite clean, as you can imagine. But one day the bread man came delivering and it was a really wet day. The rain was absolutely cascading down the hill outside my door. But bread man loves my dogs. And so I came to the door to collect my baguette on my own. And he says, you know, where's Churchill, which is his favourite dog? And I told him that the dog refused to leave the pigsty on account of the rain. He doesn't like it. And I'm teaching bread man English, but I didn't know what pigsty was in French, and he didn't know what pigsty was at all in English. So I tried to elaborate. I said, it's the house where the pigs live in the garden. And he looked at me and he says, like, you have pigs living in your house? I said, no, the pigs used to live there. Now I write in there. But he was so focused on the pigs in the house bit. He's like, you write with the pigs? So I said, no, but I tried my best to explain. I don't think I did that well because two people from the next village have since asked me if I keep pigs in the house.
But I think with all your animals, about 60, isn't it? Maybe a pig would just fit in quite nicely.
No.
But enough of that. It's time to talk about How to Be French, Part 2. In How to Be French, Part 1, we looked at things like dunking your croissant in your coffee, cheese etiquette, the French obsession with wearing scarves, and talking a lot, and heaps more things that make the French so French, things that are unique to France, fun, and sometimes just a little bit weird to some people, but not to us French. Well, okay, maybe even to us sometimes, just a little bit odd. The Good Life France podcast. Everything you want to know about France and more. With Janine Marsh and Olivier Geoffrey. Okay, so you might think that some things we do us French are a little bit different or a bit odd, but they seem perfectly natural to me.
Which is why I'm going to mention some more of the things that non-Frenchies think are a bit odd. And Ollie, you have to say whether you agree or not. So I could mention things like cuil de mouton, sheep's testicles to you and me. In Dordogne, they like to make something called frivolité beneventines, which is basically a big bag of testicles, which are peeled, soaked in cold water for 3 hours, sliced, and then grilled with lemon, parsley, and white wine.
A lot of white wine is needed.
A lot of white wine. I would add garlic as well if it were me, but I'm not a chef. Have I had them? No. So I can't really say they are horrible. Would I eat them? Not if I can help it. It's just the thought of it, isn't it, really? Or how about andouillette? I don't know. Do you like andouillette, Ollie?
Not really, no.
Okay. It's a sausage made with pig's intestines, flavoured with pepper, wine, and onions. And yes, a lot of wine needed because it has a frankly disturbing smell. When we were young, we used to sing a song at school when they brought school dinners out. Yum, yum, piggy bum. That's all I'm going to say. But let me tell you, the smell of andouillette is quite nightmarish. But I'm going to start this with something a bit sweeter, sort of. So, Ollie, do you think that pastilles de musculine are a bit weird? And can you explain what they are? Because they are so French, it might be that most people have never even heard of them.
Okay, I'll try. Pastilles de musculine, not masculine, they are for everyone, are sweet, but they are a bit different from your usual sweets. They're made in Burgundy at the Notre-Dame-des-Dômes Abbey. And the ingredients are quince pear and orange jam, honey, sugar, and raw beef. They are not like the number one sweet in France, to be really honest, but it's said that they give you energy, especially if you eat them before your exercise. They are made from a recipe developed by a professor and a doctor at the Medical University of Montpellier, south of France, and given to the monks of the abbey. Different, but not odd, not sure. You taste, you tell me.
So, raw beef sweets with sugar and fruit, different but not odd, you say. Okay, yeah. I'm not sure that everyone will agree with you. I'm not sure I agree with you, but my dogs, who are admittedly French, would probably love them and will agree with you. We're going to talk some more about food, but let's move away from food for a minute. And we're going to talk about swimming trunks. Yes, you heard that right. Swimming trunks, swimming suits, bathing trunks, swim trunks, whatever you like to call them. The bathing outfits that are worn by men in the swimming pool. And at the same time, let's talk about swimming caps, those rubber hats that you have to yank over your head. If you've got hair, you've got to try and push it all in so that you look like Jiminy Cricket on a bad day. Let me explain. In France, it is the law that men must wear tight-fitting trunks in public swimming pools. And none of that baggy surfer dude cool stuff here. No, no. But the type that is sometimes referred to as budgie smugglers, and I'm just going to leave that there. It's also required that in pretty much most public pools, everyone must wear a rubber bathing cap, even if you haven't got hair. Okay, believe me, this is not a good look. You might be thinking Daniel Craig emerging from the ocean in his famous blue swimsuit in Casino Royale. The reality is somewhat different in French swimming pools. Imagine Daniel Craig wearing a rubber cap.
Yeah,
it's not quite so good, is it? No. But in France, we must all put these hideous things on to get into the public swimming pool. You don't have to wear them on beaches, by the way, so don't be stressing about that if you're going on holiday. And you don't have to wear them in private pools, places like hotels. It is only in municipal public pools. So if you're packing for your holiday in France, you do not need to rush out and buy a new pair of tight-fitting swimming trunks and a matching rubber hat. By the way, you can actually buy the rubber hats at swimming pools from a vending machine. So, Ollie, I have to say, I thought this was very unusual when I first went swimming and had no idea of the rules. I emerged from the changing room without a rubber hat and I jumped into the water and someone, you know, one of the lifeguards whistled really, really loudly and I was told to get out of the pool and sent to the reception to sort myself out. So, odd or not, what do you think?
I can see it's disturbing you for sure. But well, basically, this is about hygiene. If you can wear the baggy shorts out on the street, you can't wear it in the pool. And officially, it's also about public welfare and reducing the chance of pollution in the water, hair, sweat, etc., from wearing clothes maybe all day. And the same with the rubber head cover. It's to stop your hair, if you have any, obviously, from going in the water.
But you still have to wear it, even if you haven't got any hair.
Yes, democracy and solidarity.
I don't even know what to say to that. A friend told me in Paris that he didn't know the rules as well. And he went to a big municipal pool quite early one morning. And he jumped in wearing his Marks and Spencer's long baggy shorts. And the pool attendant started blowing whistles and shouting. And he didn't know they were shouting at him. So he ignored them. And they tried to fish him out with a long hook.
Big mistake there. It's a law that goes back 120 years when municipal pools first became popular in France. And often it comes up for discussion in the French Senate, but it never gets approved. But you know, we don't mind in France. We grew up used to this. We don't think it is at all strange.
Well, I'm pretty sure a few people listening won't be agreeing with you, but hey ho, let's move on. Okay, this one is this habit for me is uniquely French, and I think it's really a little bit off the wall. So I was recently on a tour in the north of France where I live in Pas-de-Calais. So normally I take the train everywhere in France because it reaches everywhere and it's really easy. But this time I was going local because I live here, and there were a little group of us, and we had a little coach, and we were doing a small group foodie tour because the food here is absolutely amazing. Really, really amazing. You know, I could wax lyrical about this, but let me just say beer tart, like treacle tart, but made with beer. Sugar tart. We like our sugar here a lot. We even have beef stew with sugar in. Anyway, the tour leader told the coach driver to go down this little road to get to where we needed to be. We were going for a beer tasting. And the coach driver said that the sat-nav told her not to go that way. And the tour guide insisted. So we go down this road and there's a low bridge and the coach can't go under it. So we had to reverse up this main road to get out of this situation. Now the driver, she was a tad peeved, let's say, and said, "Oh, dearie, dearie me, whoops-a-daisy," or words to that effect. She was a British coach driver, so, you know, it's a little bit more colourful. But we all looked at the tour guide who said, "Je rendis," which, and I know this because I speak enough French to fully understand that sentence, means I didn't say anything. So I said, "Yes, you did. You said to go down that street." And the tour guide said, "Oui, mais je suis trompé," which means, "Yes, but it was a mistake." And all the time I've been here in France, I don't think that I have ever heard a French person admit to being wrong. But now it seems I've learned that the way round it is simply to say, if you're French, "J'ai rien dit." And that takes the wrongness away, apparently. Unfortunately for this tour guide, we were all British on this tour, and we are always wrong about everything. And I'm not going to mention Brexit here. And not only that, we like everyone else to be wrong too. So it's a bit of a battle of wills. We lost, but we knew. It is impossible for a French person to be wrong. True or false, Ollie?
True, of course. It's perfectly normal. French people are never wrong about anything. We drive on the right side of the road. To start with, we eat cheese after dessert, and we don't apologize about anything. British people apologize for everything. Sorry, it's raining today. It's raining a lot, that's true. Sorry, I trod on your foot. Sorry, I just rammed you with my trolley in the supermarket. In France,
so true.
If we break our mum's favorite ornament by accident, burn dinner, or have nothing to serve our guests, turn up really late, we never say sorry. Why would we? And if we say, "Take this turning here," and it's wrong, yes, we simply say, "I didn't say anything. It's not me."
Okay, I rest my case. For me, this is unique and fairly odd. Right, let's talk about queuing.
Ooh, what is that? Queuing?
Queuing. What is that queuing? That says it all, really, doesn't it? Because that is exactly what I mean. French people seem to have no concept of queuing. In fact, no one in France appears to ever have been taught the art of queuing. The British, on the other hand, are masters of the skill. We can queue for hours if we need to. It is a national point of pride that we can stand in a line and wait our turn. If we know we're going to be there a long time, it doesn't put us off at all. We just take a flask of tea. That gets us through everything. But let's look at France. French people do not queue. Once, me and Mark, my other half, went to a summer fete in the town of Fruges, near where we live, and there was a big hog roast in a big tent for lunch, but the pig caught fire. Now, this being France, we were not evacuated from the tent, don't do health and safety like they do in some countries here, but we were instead given glasses of very strong rum punch. So we're sitting there on a hot day drinking rum punch, watching the pompiers, the firemen, put the fire out. Wasn't a very big fire, to be honest, though. Here we are, alcohol, blazing hot tent, literally, and a late lunch. What do you think happened? when a voice came over the tannoy system announcing we should all head to the buffet table to be served.
Well, late lunch is a problem for sure. So, I mean, how late? It was after 12, right?
Oh, yeah. It was about 1:30 by now.
Oh, yeah. That's a big problem. Way too late for us Frenchies. 1:30, Janine. Come on.
We're hungry and angry. So anyway, me and Mark, we walked to the front of the tent to queue up to get our lunch. I'm under 5 feet, so I'm quite small. He's 6'4". We look like the crankies. We're ready to queue. We know what happens, but no, that's not what happens. Grown men and women were fighting with each other to get to the front. Jean-Claude, my neighbour, he dragged Mark in front of him. He was dead-legging anyone who got in the way, pushing Mark in front like a human battering ram. I was forgotten about. I was no use. I went and sat down. I thought, I can't be part of this. The poor servers who were standing behind the table, you know, dishing up the food, they practically threw the food onto the plates trying to clear this rabble. Afterwards, everyone just sat down very politely as if nothing had happened. No one actually said, je dis rien, I said nothing. Or rather, in this case, I did nothing. But I know that's what they were thinking.
And we don't like queuing on the road either, as French. We hate to be in a line of traffic behind a tractor. We want to be free.
It's so true. Funny enough, when you're driving, doesn't matter where you come from, what country, the hand gestures we use in the UK or the US seem to be perfectly well understood in France. And now, because this is France, let's get back to food, because it is pretty much the law to talk about food here. So I wasn't going to talk about cuil de mouton that I mentioned earlier, sheep's testicles, but I can't help it because, well, it's weird, isn't it? So snail cake. Let's talk snail cake rather than testicles.
Yes, please.
I was at Dijon Market, standing at a stall, admiring a display of cold meats and hors d'oeuvres, you know, little snacks and delicatessen. Beautiful display at Dijon Market, which is one of the best markets I've ever been to. And the lady behind the stall said, would you like to try something gâteau? That's all I heard. Gâteau, cake, I know this. And at one end of the stall, to justify what I did, they did actually have lovely looking cake. So I said, yes, please. Didn't question at all what she asked me. I just thought, cake. I love cake. So she passed me a plate with a fork and a slice of gâteau, except it wasn't millefeuille or opera cake or chocolate or any of those delicious cakes that the French make so beautifully. It was, in fact, snail cake. And yes, I did eat it because I didn't know how to be French then, or I would have said, je dis rien. I didn't say anything. I found out afterwards it's called gâteau moelleux. So like it means soft cake. And it was like, it's more like a terrine than a cake. So it's vegetables. But then it had like little snail antlers hanging out.
Oof.
So a lot of people like snails. And me and Ollie, we don't like snails. So if you
I
like
do.
Snails,
I
oh, do.
Do
you?
Yeah, I do like snails. But snails with garlic sauce.
You are French, yeah. After all. You can come back to France, yeah. If you like snails, okay?
Working on it. So now you listeners as well, you know how to be a bit more French in this part two episode. Never be wrong, never queue, eat raw beef sweets maybe, if it's not going a bit too far, and wear a rubber hat in the pool. Now, it's time to answer a listener's question as we do in every episode. And let's do it in French.
Let's not.
Got a question about France? Well, ask the experts. We reply to you in each episode. And we do it for free.
So today's question is from Susanna Murphy from the lovely county of Dublin in Ireland, Irlande in French. She says, my surname, Murphy, is one of the most common surnames in Ireland. What's the most common surname in France? So Ollie, over to you on this one.
So it's Martin, or as you English speakers would say, Martin. It's also a prénom, a first name, so you could have someone called Martin. It's a common surname in many countries, in fact, and Dupont is also very common, by the way.
My mum's family were Martins. I was going to say Martins then, because I'm feeling a bit French, but yeah, my mum's family were Martins, so must be a bit French, really.
Exactly. The name comes from Saint Martinus, a 4th century bishop of Tours in the Loire Valley. And there were more than 300,000 people in France with the surname Martin. Thanks so much for this question, Susanna. If you also have a question for us, feel free to send it to janine@thegoodlifefriends.com, janine@thegoodlifefriends.com, or via our podcast newsletter. This is the Good Life France podcast. Oh là là, le podcast The Good Life France. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast. We love chatting to you and sharing authentic, real, and yes, sometimes odd France. And a huge thank you for sharing it with your friends and family. We are really grateful to you for helping us to grow our podcast. You've been listening to Janine Marsh and myself, Olivier Geoffrey. You can find me at parischanson.fr.
And you can find me and heaps of information about France, where to visit, culture, history, recipes, everything France, at thegoodlifefrance.com. Where you can subscribe to this brilliant podcast, my weekly newsletter about France, and our totally fabulous free magazine at magazine.thegoodlifefrance.com. But for now, it's au revoir from me.
And goodbye from me.
Speak to you soon.
Let's go all to the swimming pool now. Do you have your hat?
Yeah, I'm wearing it now. I've become quite attached to it now. I don't want to take it off anymore.
Really. You can't anyway. The Good Life France podcast. Available on all podcast platforms, on thegoodlifefrance.com and on parischanson.fr. The most beautiful French songs of the 40s, 50s and 60s, only on Paris Chanson. Available on your mobile, smart TV, computer and smart speaker 24/7. Visit parischanson.fr to find out more. That's PARISCHANSON.fr.